Exodus chapter 15, turn there with me, New International Version. Are you ready? Almost. Exodus 15. New International Version, Exodus 15, familiar passage for many of you. Verse 22, appreciate the worship team. Thank you for all your hard work and all that you do. You have a desire to be on the worship team, go through the Discover track. If you haven't done that, if you haven't gone through the Discover track, it's on Sunday mornings at 9:45 for the first four Sundays. Sometimes there's five Sundays, and it's not on the fifth Sunday. But the other Sunday, you can jump in anytime, 9:45. There were so many people in there last Sunday. It's just a real party. And you get to find out about the church and where we come from, where we're headed, vision. Get to find out, how do I get involved in the worship team, youth team, sound team, usher team, security team? How do you, all of those ways to find out what's the next step to get plugged in. And you can go online, kcalaska.com. You can stop off at the Next Steps desk and find out the next steps. All right. Exodus 15, verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went to the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah, because that's what Marah means, bitter. Verse 24. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" And I'm not sure they sounded that way, but I just thought I'd. Verse 25. Then Moses cried out to the Lord. Who did he cry out to? The Lord. The Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it in the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, verse 26, if, everybody say if. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, then I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. He's the Lord who what? Who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs, 70 palm trees, and they camped near the water. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done already. Do some more, and even more, and more, and more. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This passage is profound to me. I do remember hearing a message many years ago. In fact, the year was 2010. My Dr. Morocco, my pastor, our senior global pastor, it is packed full, chock full of revelation. And I believe that your life's going to be transformed as a result of it. The significance of this passage is God has just delivered his people out of the house of bondage. They've seen incredible miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. And now they're basically 3 days with no water. I don't know in your life, but I would venture to say if you're a human being here, I don't think we have any aliens. If you're an alien, lift your hand. All right. Be healed. Be free. All of us go through times where it's dry. We go through times where we just don't know what to do. Go through times where it's like, Lord, help. You seem like you're at a dead end or you just don't know which way to go. We have a number of tactics that we've learned over the years of how to break through the arid places. We've learned how to find water in the midst of the desert, pools in the midst of the wilderness, streams in the desert. We've learned how to do it. And I didn't know some of those things when I first came to the Lord. And so you go through a difficult time, and you wonder where the Lord is. Well, you got to learn how to break through. You got to learn how to drink in the midst of a drought. There is always a well in your personal hell. There is always a place. There's always a stream. There's always a pool. There's always a ram in the thicket. To quote Prophet Jim LaFoon, it's sometimes hard to find. So context here, they've just experienced a tremendous victory, and it's the defeat of the strongest nation in the world. They escaped. God delivered them. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptian army is totally destroyed. Well, not totally destroyed, but those who were with them were destroyed. Nahamanides and other rabbinic scholars say that Israel got all their weapons by the Egyptians' armies when they were swamped by the Red Sea closing up over them. All their weapons washed up on the Promised Land side, and they went and gathered all the weaponry to be able to fight with. And I don't know, maybe you've seen it. Some that go underwater there, and you see certain areas where there's chariot wheels and things like that. But they had a problem. You have 2 million people that need water, and there's no water. Now, but if you could imagine 2 million people approximately heading to go, you know, they're out, they're looking for water, and they're in the desert, and can you imagine you see the body of water? Now you see it, and you're like, yeah, right? I know, I was getting concerned too, but look what the Lord had done, yeah. And they see a body of water, they see it. They're like, there it is. I can even think the kids maybe start hustling ahead because they're thirsty. People maybe start jogging. I don't know, has anybody ever been like really dire thirsty? I have. And you'll do anything to get a drink of water. Anything. They're 3 days water. So they say you can't live without water for 3 days. We don't know exactly their condition, but it is a need, and it's desperate, potentially desperate. And that's an undertaking. That's quite a thing, giving 2 million people water. I remember years ago, humorously, Dr. Morocco said, you need to be careful when you're moving forward in faith, because if you try to figure out how many porta-potties you need before you leave Egypt, you're never going to leave. They went in faith. God would have to supply. And many times when you're moving forward, you don't know the whole outcome. You just have to keep obeying, listening, and obeying his decrees. So they need water. They get to this water, and it's undrinkable. They can't drink it because it's marah. It's bitter. It's poison. It's poison water. Come on, some of you have gotten giardia maybe out in the mission field or maybe from drinking from a stream in Alaska somewhere. You know, you need to be careful of the water you drink. This water was poison, and they were not able to drink it. And it had to be extremely discouraging. In fact, they grumbled. And raise your hand if you've ever grumbled before. They grumbled. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:10 that God has given us examples in the Old Testament, and that some of them grumbled and released a destroying angel on them. Did you know that grumbling and murmuring is the language of the devil? And basically, it'll release hellfire on you. It'll release demon power. It's not going to help you. Don't grumble. Don't murmur. Don't complain. You say, well, you don't understand. No, I don't understand, but you've got to shift and change your channel. So you begin to cry out to the Lord like Moses does. That's what Moses does. He cries out, and God gives him this revelation. His response to the grumbling, he's a good pastor. I haven't always responded that way. Response to the grumbling was he cried out to the Lord. It's a model for turning to God in moments of great despair. If you turn to God in moments of great despair, he will take your great despair and turn it for good. Romans 8:28, and we know that God works all things together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. If you learn to cry out, that's what prayer is. Prayer is crying out, help! Greatest prayer I think I ever heard was a gentleman out of Waianae, and I've shared the story before, came into a teen challenge center, and I was leading that particular prayer meeting as a student. Anyway, and he said, hey, bro, can I pray? I said, yeah. And he just looked up to the sky, tears running down his face. He said, help, help. It's a beautiful prayer. You don't have to speak Elizabethan English. You just have to cry out to him. And that's what Moses does. The NIV here, which we read, says that God showed him a piece of wood, but the actual Hebrew word is the word for tree. Everybody say tree. Okay, remember that. Just think about this tree. God shows him a tree, and he takes it and he throws it in the water, and the effects of the tree heal the water, and everybody's able to drink. It is a total miracle, a total miracle. With the New Testament revelation, if you can take it a little further, cursed is he who hangs on a tree. God shows him the solution. I've had times when we were just not knowing what to do, whether it be this building project or in our own lives, and just facing obstacles and learn to cry out. If you learn to cry out, you'll have breakthrough. There is no difficulty, no mountain, no wall, no obstacle. Whatever you face, God can bring you through. God can remove it. God can do amazing things. But if you don't learn to cry out, you'll be limited in seeing the release of his power in overcoming the difficulty that you're in. So you have to learn to cry out. It's a humbling thing. Help! Help! You cry out. Beautiful picture of prayer. I said it earlier, but prayer is really the reason we're here. I mean, this building wouldn't be here. Everything we've done has been birthed through prayer. The church was saved through an extended fast and a time of prayer. And as we came out of that, the Lord spoke to me and said, remember, everything I'm about to do is going to be a result of prayer. Well, I'm still remembering that. Nearly going on 18 years later, still remembering that everything that's happened has been a result of prayer. Now, if you examine your life and you see how many got some mountains in your life, am I the only one? All right, come on, you got mountains. Some of you are like, I got a lot of them. Mountains move by faith. Mountains speak mountainese. Faith is what moves mountains. And if you don't learn to cry out, the mountains might not move. Now, I'm glad when they moved when I didn't have faith to cry out. And God just said, oh, I'm going to help the boy. I'm grateful for that. Why would God bring someone to a flood stage Jordan? Think about this. Why would God bring a nation of Israel to a flood stage Jordan? Why? Why would he bring them to a Red Sea with the enemy behind them? Why would he do that? Why would he allow for bitter water and for them to cry out and God shows them a tree, a piece of wood in the NIV, and he throws it in and the water is healed and so they can drink? Why? Why doesn't God just do it? One of the beautiful things is when you face obstacles and difficulties, when you cry out and God brings a stream, God brings the pool, God brings the mountain moving power, it does something to your faith. And I will tell you, and I've said it before, I'm so grateful for all the challenges we've had. I'm not desiring any more. I mean, that'd be weird. Oh, yes. Just give me problems, Lord. No, I'm not asking for that. But amen. But when you go through things, it's an opportunity. It's a divine assignment for you to springboard into your future with greater faith. Don't change the way that you see things. Don't see the current bitterness that you're in. Come on, 2023 was a little bitter for some people. Oh, I'm the only one. 2023 had some issues. 2022 also. 2021. How about Clovis? That was kind of challenging. Or whatever it's called. The text says it. He brought them there to test them. How many of you had a test? We have a King's Christian School. It's going to open in the fall. And there's going to be some tests. Why? Why would you test a student on their reading proficiency? To see if they're proficient at reading. Why would you currently be going through a test? You say, well, is it the devil or is it God? Well, that's a great question. Therein lies the rub. Scripture says, don't say that God is tempting me or testing me, but there are things that you go through and they are tests. And if you'll respond rightly, you'll get bonus. Listen, it says in the book of, it's in the Bible. The way that you respond to trials and difficulties will produce more glory and power for you now, 1 Corinthians, and in the age to come. This momentary light affliction is working for us, listen closely, working for us a far exceeding weight of glory, both now and the age to come. Now, literally what that means, if you want to increase in intimacy with God, if you want to increase in favor with God and man, if you want to increase in power and unction, God's power and ability, you want to increase in that, then the current mountain you're facing is an opportunity for you to be elevated. If you'll respond right. You don't know what they did. Suck it up, buttercup, and move forward, pray, cry out, and look for the piece of wood to put in the bitterness, and we'll talk about that in a minute. It's a picture of the cross. It's a test. This is a test. How many of you remember when the TV used to turn off? Great. How many of you remember when the TV used to do like these long tests? This is a test of the emergency broadcast. The following 60 seconds. I'll just be like, I just had to turn it off at a certain tone. It drove me nuts. It was a test. In Hawaii, they have a tsunami warning system, which unfortunately was not used during the fire. I think it might have helped, but God knows. And every first Monday of the month in Hawaii, the tsunami warning, the first Monday of the month. Do I have that right? Pastor Karen? Pastor Karen. Pastor Karen? At a certain time in the month, at a certain time in the month, that the siren goes off, and it's an indication that it's a test. Everyone knows that's a test of the tsunami warning system. When you go through difficulty, see it as a test. See it as an opportunity. And how many of you like getting good grades? How many of you like passing the test? See it as an opportunity, be promoted. So the next time you have some problem that goes, something that happened that goes awry, just go, woo, I'm gonna pass this test. Don't get grumbling. Don't partner with the enemy. Don't speak devil. God, do you even love me? I can't believe we're out here. Pastor Moses is an idiot. Should have been back and eating leeks and garlic. Here we are, starving and thirsty. Some of you are like that. Don't let your kids do it either. Do not let your kids be grumblers. Be looking for a safe place when they grow up. God knows we got enough of that. I should move on. It's a test of how much you know and a test of how much they knew. And it's convenient that we're just exactly like them. God, just 3 days earlier, listen, 3 days earlier, the Egyptians were destroyed. Just 3 days. It's not like 3 months. 3 days earlier, God wiped out the Egyptians. This is 3 days after that. Where's the prophesying Miriam and the, where's everybody with their tambourines and just shouting and woo? You know, you ought to start shouting and playing your tambourine. Of course, that's the only place you can play it. You can't play it here. How come? I'm personally allergic, so I'm allergic to tambourine players. There are a few. I think Dee Scott can play the tambourine, but. She's been gracious to not play it, to encourage others who can't play, mostly. And it throws off the drummer, and it just puts, like, it's like putting crochet needles in my ears. I can't do it. But what, you should just start rejoicing the minute you have a test. Look what the Lord has done, mountain, bitterness, all kinds of stuff. Look for the tree. Lord, where's the tree? God does a preemptive miracle. He had to actually grow the tree before they were even there. He had to keep camels from stepping on it. Yeah, that tree had to make it. We don't know what kind of tree it was. And we oftentimes forget, quote from Dr. Morocco once again, spiritual Alzheimer's is a recipe for disaster. If you forget how he delivered you, you're going to end up in disaster. How many ever been set free, delivered, provided for? How many of you had a mountain that got moved? You said, I haven't. Stick around. We'll show you how. Teaching you how right now. The mountain can move. Your mountain can move. Things are subject to change. I want you to say that. Things are subject to change, including people. And so oftentimes we forget. And God reveals himself in this text as a covenant-keeping God. And as I've said over all these years, he uses covenant language. Anytime you see if and then clauses, it's covenant. If you do this, then I will do that. If, it's conditions. There's conditions. If you follow these conditions, then I will do this. And he gives them this incredible promise in the midst of this test as they cry out, they drink the water, and God declares, if you listen, it's not hearing, it's listening. I don't know when I just shared that recently. Sometimes I'm just hearing things, but not listening. Amen. Am I the only man in the room that sometimes has a listening problem? I know Pastor Gil. We've prayed for him before. Anybody else? I know there's others. I know my brother for sure. All right, Pastor Dwayne, for sure. Anybody raise your hand? Be honest. Come on, confess. You need God to help you. Listen. I hear the note. I hear the sweet sounds like a songbird, but I don't pay attention all the time to really listen. It's present tense. It's listening now. If you listen now, God's speaking right now. Right now. He's speaking right now. He's a right now God. Now faith is. God will speak to you now. Yes, he spoke in the past and he talks about that. There's decrees and so on and so forth. If you listen, it's present tense. And you do it. You do what he says. So it's not just listening, it's doing. Everybody say doing. Pay attention. Keep his commands. Then you get the covenant fruit. You get the then. It's then I'll bring deliverance. I will bring healing. He reveals himself as a healer. Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And I like the King James. We read the New International Version. That's present tense. It's not it past healer. It's he's the healer now, right now, right now, right now. You don't have to be in a Benny Hinn service to get healed. You can get healed right now. You can get healed at home. You can get healed in your bed. You can get healed in the kitchen. You can get healed in your pickup truck. You can get healed on the plane. He is the right now healer. Come on, if you need healing, lift your hand to heaven. Be healed in Jesus' name. He's a healer. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. It's a foundational aspect of God's character. It is actually who he is. He is healer. He's not the sicker. He's the healer. The devil is the sicker, but God is the healer. You missed a great place to say amen. Sickness, infirmity, disease, not from God. Clearly in scripture, our God is a good God. Our God is a healer. He's a provider. He's a deliverer. He's a strong tower. He's a sun and shield. He's an awesome Savior, able to help you no matter what bitter situation, no matter where you are in the midst of a desert. If you'll cry out, he will come a running and bring healing, breakthrough, and deliverance. Can you say amen? And then what happens here, this revealing of this foundational aspect of God's character, not just as a savior out of bondage, but a healer of all infirmities, which is really the word sozo in the Greek, Old Testament's in Hebrew, the section's in Hebrew, reading English translation. Sozo, it means healing of everything. Come on, how many of you need everything healed? I need everything healed. And you have done that for us. He's done that for us, Pastor Karen. Hallelujah. And this next verse, it's verse 27. Look at verse 27 with me. Then they came to Elim. So you get this incredible if-then clause covenant language, how God is their deliverer, their savior, he's their healer, none of the diseases of Egypt. Listen, you can stand on this. You take this scripture and stand on it. You can put it on a coffee mug, put it on a shirt, put it on your fridge, but mostly put it on your heart. He's the Lord my God that heals me. He is my healer. Say that. The Lord is my healer. He's my healer. I am the Lord your God that healeth thee. If you'll memorize healing scriptures and learn to stand on them, you'll see a release of God's power in your life regarding healing. In fact, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Whatever you study, whatever you read, whatever you memorize, commit to memory, which is really the only kind of word I think you know. That which you've hidden in your heart. I've hidden your word in my heart, Psalm 119, that I might not sin against you. That which you hide in your heart is the word that I think that we know. Not where you have to quickly look for it on your phone, but it literally comes out of you. You know, people read the word, you know it's in you when you're praying and it comes out. That's how you know you've gotten it in you as a part of the arsenal and the weaponry to walk in victory is when it's coming out of you in prayer. You memorize scriptures on healing, you stand on those and you pray them, you will see healing. How about provision? You stand on scriptures regarding provision, you will see a release of provision. You stand on scriptures regarding wisdom, you will see wisdom. I've been in prayer meetings where I had no idea what to do, had to make a big decision. Prayed, had people pray for me. God, I need wisdom. Then I'll be praying in the Spirit and instantly have this random idea. And I've learned now, it took me a little bit to figure it out. It took me a little bit to figure that idea that came to my mind. I've oftentimes, in my early walk, would say, well, that's a strange thought. And then I would just keep looking for what the answer was. I've learned that when those ideas come, 99.9% of the time, it's the Holy Spirit. During the day when I'm praying and I have a thought of a friend or a pastor on the other side of the world, the other side of the nation, I'll call them right then. Pastor Karen, and say, hey, have you been talking to so-and-so? Many times it's like, no. And we're in the car. I dial their number right there over and over and over. And I can't tell you how many times it's like, I can't believe you're calling me right now. I was praying about the school. That's how Susie McKenzie, our principal, got the phone call or text. I always get confused. Was it text, phone call, or email? I don't know. I'm pretty sure it wasn't a Snapchat. We weren't snapping or DMing. It was a text, I'm pretty sure. I'm praying, and I hear, call Susie McKenzie. She's the one to lead the school. Tell her you'll give her carte blanche. Tell her to run it. Run with it. I was like, whoa, yes. I called. She had just resigned 20 minutes before. The timing of that was absolutely supernatural. And you need to see stuff like that. I do. I need to see that because I want to see the fingerprint of God on everything I'm doing. If I don't see the fingerprint of God, I'm going to pray through until I do. I'm going to Israel. I felt led not to go. I canceled. I bowed out. And then in the night, I got dealt with by the Lord, got rebuked, corrected, instructed, sent to the woodshed. I repented, came back. It all happened at night in my bed, all of that. I learned some lessons. I'm like, sorry. Oh, Lord, if you want me to go, just to open it back up. But you got to do that because I need to see that. Instantly after I prayed that, bing, my text goes off. And they said, are you sure? You don't want to go. We really need you to go. Which I'm like, oh God, you're so funny. He's like, you're going. I'm like, okay, I'm going. I need to see that. You need to see the supernatural fingerprint of God on everything you're doing. And when they go through this test, on the other side of the test is the blessing. Let me say that again. On the other side of the test is the blessing. Come on, you're never going to have a testimony unless you go through a test. You just have the monies.
Do you even love me? Pastor Moses is so stupid. He stutters and we don't have no water.
You want a testimony, you got to go through the test. They go through the test, and where do they end up? They end up in this place that's called Elim, where there's 12 springs. Now they have a spring. It's not a body of water that got healed by wood. Now it's spring. It's living water. It's a picture of the power of the Holy Spirit, a picture of God's provision, a picture of refreshing. It's beautiful, and there's 12. How many? 12, not 11, not 10, not 9, 12. One for every tribe. It's a picture of covenant. It's a picture of apostolic authority. It's a picture of government. 12. And 70 palm trees is also a picture of the elders and leaders. And they camped there near the water. God is able to bring a breakthrough for you. But if you don't learn to do what's required to see the tree, if you just have the bonies, you'll never have a testimony. If you don't realize the test that you're in is actually an opportunity for promotion, and realize that God is not only your Savior, He, in the truest sense of the word, or the real meaning of the word, He's your healer, your provider, your deliverer. He's your everything. He's my all in all. He is everything I need. God is everything you need right now. He absolutely is. And as you face some of the losses of this past year, difficulties, I don't know what's going to happen in this election year. We need God's intervention. I don't know what's going to happen on the borders. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you lost jobs. Whatever you're going through that might be something that's made you bitter. Oh, that wasn't fair. Dude, that wasn't fair. I want justice. Do you really want justice? Because if you do, you're going to get crispied. If any of us got justice here, we'd all be dead. All of us are dirt bags deep down. That's why Jesus died on a cross for your sin and mine. Come on, look at your fellow dirt bag and say, you look good tonight. Go ahead, tell him. See, well, that's not even dirt bag. That's not, yes, it is biblical. He made you out of dirt and you're in a sack of skin. You're a dirt bag. All right, there you go. Pastor Karen told me to say that, so if you're offended, you can talk to her after service. I'm sorry, Lord, that wasn't nice. God, I repent. God is speaking to us that truly no obstacle, no difficulty, no challenging scenario can stop us, can stop you, can stop us corporately. Nothing, nothing can stop us if we keep this attitude all of our life. This prophetic moment is really a tremendous moment of significance where he sees that tree, piece of wood in the NIV, Hebrews tree, because it is a picture of the cross. It's a picture that he who hangs on a tree is accursed. It's a picture of Jesus taking every curse, all your bitterness, all your pain, all your sickness, all your disease on the tree, on the cross, on the wood. This is a prophetic type and shadow of Jesus in the New Testament. And if you have bitterness and you have anger and you have unforgiveness in your life, you will not move past the bitter waters. It'll poison you. You'll end up, we know from Scripture, if I've regarded sin in my heart, you would not have heard me. Your bones, the psalmist David said, your bones will grow dry. We know from science. I this is just too funny. I have to go there. I have a friend, Pastor Italo Frigoli, and Pastor Italo said, it's this sarcastic meme, always trust science. And there's a picture of this lady who's like 8 months pregnant, smoking a cigarette. And it says, a smooth taste, expectant mother's crave. How many of you know that's not too good? Yeah, that's like 1920 or whatever. Yeah, how about heroin hydrochloride helps you go to sleep and comforts you. Yeah, it's heroin. It's a medicine that's sold in a bottle back in like forever ago, 100 years ago. Oh, yeah. No flies on me thanks to DDT. Trust science. Don't eat margarine. That'll kill you. Now they know it'll kill you. Don't eat butter. Butter kills you. Margarine, eat margarine. Yeah, don't. I never quit on butter, thank God. Thanks, Mom. Butter. Parquet. No. Science tells us, back to the point, is that those who have bitterness, they've proven that those who have bitterness and anger and resentment, it actually produces diseases. Neuroscientists show development in the brain. Dr. Laura Leith, that those things produce sickness. Carolyn, thank you, Dr. Carolyn Lee. No. When you face difficulty, bring it to the cross. You say, but I don't understand it. Well, you don't understand much, and neither do I. You don't understand how planets don't spin off and crash into each other. I mean, who are you? No, seriously, who really? You really think you're that smart? I mean, that's some serious pride. That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm comforted by the fact that much doesn't make sense to me. I'm just going to trust his leadership and keep doing the right thing. Come on, some of you are so smart, you're your own worst enemy, analyzing everything. That doesn't make sense. And so reason has taken the head off of your faith, and you're not moving forward in the plan of God. And you stay bitter, angry, and on the shelf waiting for deliverance. Be delivered now. Be free now. You come on, lift your hands to heaven.
I hope you enjoyed the broadcast and it's enriched you and helped you in your life. If you've never made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you do it now? Pray this prayer with me right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. Thank you that he rose again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Let me pray for you. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would touch each and every person that prayed that prayer out of sincerity of heart. I pray a breaking off of every assignment of darkness, any chain, any bondage, any habit that's not of God, that you would sever it and set them free. I pray and ask, Holy Spirit, touch them and fill them now and use them for your purpose and give them a hunger for your word and for the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, text us, would you, so that we can help you grow in the things of God. Text SAVED to the number 907-357-2065. If you don't have a home church, we hope that you would find a home with us here at Kings, Alaska. If you're in some other part of the nation or the world, find a good local church that preaches and teaches God's word and grow in the things of God. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you in future broadcasts or in services. Praise the Lord.